Hey there, everyone. This is a What's Up Westman.ca CJ106 feature podcast. Fewer people in politics have polarized support quite like Britain's former Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher. From strong political roots, she ushered the UK through a tumultuous time of change and unrest, not seen since the Second World War. Meryl Streep tackles this role with poise and grace, which has solidified her role as Hollywood's matriarch and is the true connection between the generations on the silver screen. Stephen Jackson and I look at this week's film, The Iron Lady, and scrutinize some of the decisions made and what makes this role an Oscar winner for Streep. So sit back, relax, and take a trip with us back to the time of The Iron Lady.
Women who stay silent on the arm of her husband. One's life must matter, Dennis.
That's why I want to marry you, my dear.
Mrs. Thatcher, one simply has to make you look and sound like the leader that you could be.
No matter how I've tried, I know I will never be truly one of them. Someone must say the unsayable.
Methinks the lady doth screech too much!
If you want to change this party, lead it.
Watch your thoughts, for they become words.
If you want to change the country, lead it.
Watch your words, for they become actions.
This is it. Steady the buffs, old girl.
Watch your actions, for they become your character.
Prime Minister?
Shoulders back, tummies in.
And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny.
And it is my duty.
The ambition that's got me this. Our ambition. And the rest of us, me, the children, we can all go to hell.
The Falkland Islands belong to Britain. And I want them back.
With all due respect, when one has been to war.
With all due respect, sir, I have done battle every single day of my life.
She heads a most hated government this country has known.
This is the best you can do. I had better do your job as well as everyone else's.
Best be careful not to test one's colleagues' loyalty too far.
Our party and our country need a new leader.
The rules make it possible to depose a sitting prime minister.
Sir, in town now, just won't win, darling.
Your problem is that you haven't got the courage for this fight. Gentlemen, shall we join the ladies?
Awesome. So once again, I am joined by Stephen Jackson. I am Sean Cameron, Brandon, Manitoba, born and raised, and we are talking movies. We've started a show here on CJ106 and whatsupwestman.ca. We are two for one at the movies. So I'd like to take an opportunity to, first of all, introduce Stephen and welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. I love doing this. I'm just enjoying doing all this talk about film.
Awesome. And as you notice, Steven's suffering through the sad effects of a cold tonight.
The week-long cold.
he's been a busy man out in Toronto this week, dealing with the show Bus Stop. It's a week into its run right now. Maybe if you could tell the people in Brandon, obviously we won't have a lot of people hitting out to Toronto this week, but tell them a little bit about the show and how it's gone so far.
Well, we opened Bus Stop on Thursday night. Had some really great crowds so far. Our biggest one was today, actually. And then we play at the Fairview Library Theatre here in Toronto. It's right near Fairview Mall. It's a wonderful play. It's a play by Wei Ming, and it's about a group of people who get stuck in a bus shelter during a snowstorm. And it's all about their relationships and about love and loneliness and all that sort of stuff. It's funny you mentioned that because this week, I don't know if people have heard that there's a strike going on in Toronto. It's through the library workers, and in fact, they went on strike tonight. So we're hoping we get our second week in, but it's possible we may not even get our second week, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad, but... You know, obviously must have had a reason that they're getting there. And I don't want to get into too much of the political realm on my side, because I've danced in that arena before. So, you know, hopefully you do get a second week out of it and people can come out and check out the show.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that's pretty dear to me. I'm stage managing myself. I'm also on as assistant director, and I also designed the set for the show.
So you were just moderately busy with it over the last couple
moderately
of weeks.
Moderately busy, and thusly why I have this wonderful cold. Because if anyone is who's in theater knows that week before opening night, often referred to as Hell Week. Because if you're like us who have to work day jobs and then do theater at night, you don't get much sleep. So unfortunately, I got a little sick this week. So I'm starting to get on the mend, though, so that's a good thing.
And nothing to do with maybe going out for drinks after the show or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. I wish I could claim that, but I can't even claim that I drink alcohol. So,
awesome. Well, as I had mentioned earlier in the intro, we are talking this week about The Iron Lady. Now, obviously, a movie people have heard of was in the hunt for Best Picture. Also had Meryl Streep come back with Best Actress in it. Is now playing at the Empire Theater in Brandon. Had been kind of here and gone, and now that it's got some Oscar looks and won some awards, it is back at the Empire for a short showing. Maybe if you want to just give us kind of your opening thoughts on the movie there, Stephen.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned it was up for Best Picture. It actually didn't get Best Picture nom.
Okay.
No, that's okay. No worries. I mean, it was one of those ones that, you know, could have very well been in there as well. It's an interesting movie. It tells the story of Margaret Thatcher, who I'm sure anyone who, you know, grew up through the 80s knew she was a major figure in England. It talks about her kind of last, it's kind of sad to say last days when she's still alive, but but very much about that. It's about her days right now and then reflecting back on her time in her youth as well as becoming Prime Minister of England. And it's an interesting biopic. It's interesting you see a biopic like this that is obviously about someone who's still around. It's kind of in that same vein as W a few years ago when it's kind of that same. It's kind of got the eeriness about it type thing because like the person's still here. They can critique it all they want.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe Ray was as well. Another one that I think Ray Charles was still alive when the movie came out.
I think he was, yeah. And so it's an interesting take. It's a brave take to do because often, you know, we wait for those legends, those people in history to kind of pass away before we start making great movies about them. So,
absolutely, yeah. It was an interesting flick for me. I went into it not expecting that it would kind of deal so much with Margaret Thatcher currently and, you know, her suffering with dementia and she says some issues with hallucinations in the movie and that type of thing. I expected going into it that it would be the sort of stereotypical biopic, you know, from early years to, you know, her political life to her life after politics and her life with her family. I was really surprised to see, and it was kind of a neat way to look at it, having the flashback moments.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's one of those movies that, yeah, again, I didn't really have an idea of what I was going into. I knew that about the character Jim Broadbent as her husband kind of remaining in the picture throughout the entire movie in both time periods. You know, he doesn't exactly exist in the present day when he passed away quite a number of few years ago. But what's interesting about it, yeah, you're right, it's that timeline where it's going for, and sometimes the flipping back and forth in time was pretty seamless, and sometimes it kind of jumped at you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reading a book right now, 11/22/63.
Oh yeah,
the Stephen King book, and it's a time jump book, and that's one thing that Stephen King had mentioned in one of his interviews is, you know, time travel and you know, multiple timelines is so tricky as a writer. You've obviously, you've wrote for a long time now. What's your kind of thoughts on that? Is that a tough genre to work in?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned because a play I'm working on right now is actually doing just that. It's flipping between about 1880 and present, like 2012. So it's interesting when you have to go back and forth between those time periods. In a film, you have the option of, like, you know, a lot more very key visual things going on when a stage show is much different. That's actually a good part to mention about this film is the cinematography in it, in that when you see the modern day, it's very kind of almost colorless.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's quite washed out.
And when you see her in her glory days of power as prime minister, it's very bright and very vivid. And it's nice to see that visual style come out.
What did you think of, you know, early Margaret Thatcher? How do you think they played that out?
Well, it's interesting. The actress they got was very, I actually quite liked the young actress who played her quite young. And I was actually quite caught up in those little stories. When it came in time when she was in power, I enjoyed it, but I found it very, very one note in the sense it seemed like speech after speech. And there weren't too many moments when she was in power where there was a quiet Margaret Thatcher, where there was someone who you didn't get to see the human being sometimes. I mean, when you saw that when she's suffering for dementia, obviously there's very human moments going on. But when she was in power, we didn't get to see that. And I think that's one of the problems I had with the film was that I wanted to see the human side of Margaret Thatcher as much as I wanted to see the strong, virtuous, you know, in control Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one scene that really sticks out for me on that note was the scene in the kitchen.
Oh, yes.
When you know, the husband comes in and they get in a bit of an argument and she's making the toast. It stands out to me, you know, he leaves and is gone for quite some time. And she just kind of realizes then, you know, when she goes to call out for him, you know, that he isn't there.
Yeah. And it's in those moments, I felt like they even played it like it was a speech. So it's almost like she was being political at every moment of her existence. And I'm sure that's part of what the draw of this story is that not only is she kind of a politician in that government position, but she's being a politician for women in general, and the fact that women can do these types of jobs and perform them quite well. And so that's kind of the element of the film I think that they were going for. I just wanted to see some of the quieter moments of Margaret Thatcher. I wanted to see the moments where you see Jim Broadbent really fall in love with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, they allude to it a couple of times, the scene on the beach. They're kind of playing with kids and all that, and she watches it on DVD, you know, in her older state. But, you know, I completely agree with you there. You know, get some of those moments where it proves that she was human.
Yeah, because that's kind of the thing they're saying in the film. Like, they're talking about how she wasn't understanding the people with some of the policies she was making. And so it'd be nice to have seen what the Margaret Thatcher, the human being, would have been.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with especially the older character Margaret Thatcher, they did a pile of work as far as makeup.
Oh yes, and thusly it deserved its Oscar for best makeup. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I found myself at times, you know, watching the movie, if it didn't have that little hint of Meryl Streep's voice still, I would have thought it was completely someone different playing that role.
Well, and I think that's the great thing about her. What's interesting is, this is the great thing about Meryl Streep, is that the people who did the makeup for her have been doing her makeup for quite a few years, in fact, actually.
Yeah.
They've actually have a history of like 20 years of doing her makeup. So obviously over that time, they've got to know her. But yeah, I guess we can talk about Meryl Streep now in this role, because it's fascinating that degree is that she really did invest herself in this role, and she's in every ounce of it. Like, there's no thinking that, you know, she's not the star of this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jim Broadbent, obviously very good. The girl, Alexandra Roach, who played the young Meryl Streep, also very good. But you don't have near the movie, I think, with anyone else in Hollywood other than Meryl Streep in that role.
No, not at all. It's hard to imagine any actress in this day and age who could play that part. But then again, is that also detracting from the film as well, too, in that it was very much her film to control and everything else. It'd be interesting to know some of the other characters in her life as well, too. A little more. Jim Broadbent's really good. I've always liked him as an actor. He won the Oscar a number of years ago for the movie Iris, which beautiful movie as well, too. And he kind of gave the film that little ounce of fun as well, too, which is quite nice, actually. But the problem was, I mean, you know, it's funny. I was going online to look up who the other actors in the movie were, and honestly, I couldn't name anyone else.
Yeah. You know, I was doing the same thing, you know, looking up, just so we had some kind of cast names here for the show, and, beyond Jim Broadbent and Meryl Streep, didn't have a lot that, you know, a couple of faces that I'd recognized from other movies, but I you can't put a name on them.
No. And I guess we can also talk a little bit about the director as well, too, who I had to look up to see what, who it was. And it's a woman by the name of Phyllida Lloyd. And this is only her second movie she's ever made, which I find is fascinating. And in fact, the other movie she made was with Meryl Streep, and it was Mamma Mia a few years ago. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a daunting cast for a daunting task for a younger director.
Very much so. I mean, and obviously she's controlling different genres and such now too. Now she's done a musical, now she's done a pure drama. And I actually looked up a little background on her, and she's very much a theater professional, and she actually specializes in opera, which is, again, a different genre altogether. So.
Oh, wow. And that's nice. That's nice you mentioned musical there as well, because that'll be something coming up later on in the show. We're going to talk about some musical picks. Looking next into kind of the writing of the movie, obviously you're a writer by trade. I know you and I had some discussions, and people can look as well on the website, whatsupwestman.ca, for Steven's review previously on this movie. And you felt writing was kind of something that lacked in it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's not to say it's not a good script. I mean, it's good, but this is such a powerful story. Like the story of Margaret Thatcher, I mean, really, she's one of the very few women in the known world to be a leader of any like political party and such, especially a country. And I just felt like, and this is not a detracting on Meryl Streep, it wasn't much of a challenge to Meryl Streep. The screenplay really just kind of stuck between the older Margaret Thatcher, who is suffering dementia and senility and such. And then we had the other part, which was just really Meryl Streep doing a lot of speeches. And so I felt like, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about the idea of playing Margaret Thatcher for being a human being, is that I felt that there was really just a two-way street in this movie. And I'm hoping that it would offer a little bit more of a challenging script. One moment, for example, I think about in this movie was when the bombing of the Grand Hotel. Right. And they do allude to it near the beginning. And it had this really weird moment where in the middle of the movie, all of a sudden the Grand Hotel gets bombed, and it just seemed to just kind of happen and drift away. And it seemed like for setting it up so early in the movie that it was going to be a lot more passionate around that event. And it really never happened.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with you on a lot of the kind of writing points as well. I think of the other minister when he's blown up by the IRA bomber.
Yes.
When the car blows up, you know, probably, you know, meant to be one of the stronger points in the movie as far as, you know, having a real effect on Thatcher. And they blew him up, and then they leave it, and then they just carry on, you know, and maybe that's, you know, what her role was like. You can definitely see her through, you know, her political decisions, that there was a lot of stuff went by the wayside if she didn't like it, or if it had a short-term effect on her, and then she carried on.
Which, I mean, is fine for what we see in the news of a leader, but when you're doing a biopic of a leader, you have to connect with that audience, with your audience. And if you just show just the strong moments or those, you know, we're not going to understand who this person really is. And I think that's what it lacked in this screenplay, was that I just didn't feel by the end of it that I really knew who Margaret Thatcher was.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as well, kind of another thing that I thought they really could have elaborated on a little more was, you know, her kind of start in the Conservative Party in England. Obviously a long storied history there, but
it went by really fast.
It went by really fast. And, you know, for her to rise to that point in the Conservative Party at that time, in that place, like, you know, they always talk about the perfect storm, right? Everything happening for a reason at a certain point. It obviously happened for a reason for her at a certain point, but they just kind of glaze over her becoming leader, basically.
Very much so. And I think, you know, I mean, it's not that I'm not interested in the dementia portion of the script, but that got a lot more play than a lot of the actual things during her greatest moments in her life.
For sure.
So, yeah.
Looking kind of, you know, we've talked a little bit about it, casting, obviously, mm-hmm. Meryl Streep. Let's talk about a bit about Jim Broadbent's character.
Yeah.
You know.
Very intriguing character to put out there. I mean, obviously you're playing a real life person, but he's also playing kind of a spirit through most of the scenes in Dementia, because he wasn't alive. He was just kind of appearing towards Meryl Streep. And that actually was actually some of the finer moments in the movie, I think, were kind of, you know, when he would appear and such. I mean, they were quite long compared to the, you know, moments in her life before that. I also found that the moments before when he was actually alive were almost less interesting than when he was dead and as a spirit.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of had a goofy quality to him.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice, and it kind of gave the film a little bit of a lift in some ways. But, I mean, I'm not sure what it says that when your character is more interesting dead than they were alive. I'm not sure what that really says.
Well, I'm sure there's probably some people that would say I'd be far more interesting when I'm dead than alive, but
who knows? But
absolutely. You know, I really like the play in between him and Meryl Streep. You know, they definitely had some chemistry there. You know, in a fairly serious sense. It shocked me, you know, initially when he's sitting eating the egg with her at the start of the movie. And like I say, we give away spoilers here. We give away movies, and, you know, hopefully if people are listening, they're listening and they're already engaged in it, because we do give away some spoilers to the movie.
I mean, it's hard not to give that away, because, I mean, well, it's not really we're giving away, because obviously if you know it's in the present day, you know he's not alive, so therefore how could he be at the time? But,
Yeah, you know, when I'm sitting there and... I found myself, when I first seen that scene, I thought her husband died years ago.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm kind of like, I'm sure I remembered hearing that in the news.
And you question yourself, and then you go, oh, right, he is.
Yeah. Yeah,
But he really is a wonderful actor. And, I mean, he's done such – he's one of those actors who I kind of refer to him as almost like the Judi Dench type actor too, in that they've achieved so much later in their career. More so than when they were younger, in fact. And, like, right. He's done a number of movies that were Oscar-nominated. He's been nominated for the Oscar a few times. I mean, but it's all been quite later in his life, too, as well. So him and Meryl do have a great chemistry together. And, again, it's two fine actors, really at the top of their game, really working with each other. You know, it's wonderful to see.
Do you think there's a role that would ever come along for Meryl Streep that she's going to flop at? At this point in her career?
A lot of people thought Mamma Mia was it. which I don't think it was. Pierce Bronson, yes, it was a flop for him. Yeah. Yeah, he can't sing. I could go on about Mamma Mia for a while, but so I won't. But Meryl Streep, it's interesting. One movie that really never quite caught me, because I don't think it was... Sometimes movies with Meryl where it isn't much of a challenge for her are the ones where she does the worst. Because it's kind of like, right, where do you go with this? You know, like, for instance, the movie a few years ago called It's Complicated. A lot of people liked the movie. I never quite got into it. I didn't think it was a great role for her either. It wasn't enough challenge to her. It was just kind of...
That's the Alec Baldwin one, right?
Yeah, and Steve Martin, which, again, another actor I really like. But it was kind of like Meryl just playing Meryl. It's when she gets into these roles when you see her really come forward. And generally she makes, like, for instance, The Devil Wears Prada. Like, you know, she really had, it's Meryl on the screen, but it's, you know, she's so much better, you know? So I think it's the roles where she has almost no challenge, or it's where she struggles, because she really does really look towards a challenge. On a side note, I was actually watching a documentary about her, actually, this past weekend with a friend, and it's a great, if anyone has Netflix... there's a documentary called Theater of War, and you have to spell theater the American way, E-R, to find it. But it's about her and Kevin Kline doing a production of Mother, Courage, and Her Children by Bertolt Brecht in Central Park, with adapted by Tony Kushner, who did Angels in America. And you get to really see Meryl Streep in her process, even though she hates every second of you seeing it. She keeps saying it. I don't like people seeing it. I don't like people seeing it. But you get to really see how she evolves as a character.
Right.
And I, so I really, you know, if you're interested in Meryl Streep, definitely go see that, definitely watch that documentary. It's possibly one of the finest documentaries on theater you'll ever see.
Excellent. And it's on Netflix, as you mentioned?
It's on Netflix. It's called, yeah, Theater of War, and it's about the production of Mother Courage and Her Children.
Awesome, awesome. That, you know, sounds very good. Looking at this role, you know, like you say, a role that really challenges Streep, she strives at. Do you think a person at that point in their career with roles like It's Complicated can get complacent?
I don't think she necessarily gets complacent. But I think she's the type of actress who really digs into a character. Like she finds every facet she can find from the script to play that character. And so if the script doesn't have much there, I think that's when it becomes a struggle for her because, well, where do you go for it? You know what I mean? And so I think that's why there's movies where you see her have just some fun, like Mamma Mia, which are not necessarily great roles for her, but they're fun roles for her. But I like seeing her in these types of roles where we see her really digging into a character and really proving why she's the greatest actress of her generation.
Absolutely. Speaking about movies where, you know, you're just having fun. My wife and I went out last night with a couple of friends there. Checked out the movie 21 Jump Street. Now, this is a movie that is playing at the box office in Westman right now. I know you went out with your partner there, Stephen, and checked it out as well. What were your thoughts on it?
In a complete opposite vein, this movie is just pure fun. Like, that's all it really is. And I really enjoyed it. I'll probably do a review for it for the website sometime soon. No, I just had a lot of fun during this movie. Jonah Hill is just proving that he's really a much better actor than we give him credit for. And, you know, there's a reason why he got that little Oscar nomination this year. I think you're going to see this guy really, he could be around for quite a number of years, and he's going to be quite the actor who can change between a serious role and a comedic role very easily. And that's an amazing trait to have. The movie as a whole is a lot of fun. Some great cameos. I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it's also a movie that, I mean, it could be a little bit shorter maybe, but, it was just a lot of fun, and it's actually neat to see Channing Tatum having a little fun too as well. Sometimes he gets stuck in those movies where he's pretty, you know, wooden. But yeah, I think he had a lot of fun with this one, and that made a huge, huge difference. Yeah, so I definitely recommend to go see it. It did a great the box office this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it just killed the numbers at the box office this weekend. I agree with you. You know, I see Jonah Hill eventually kind of going the way of John C. Reilly.
Yeah, well, obviously, have you seen the movie with John C. Reilly? He did?
Jonah Hill did?
Yeah, he did a movie 2 years ago called Cyrus.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you guys, it's on Netflix as well, too. I think I'm promoting Netflix now.
we should get sponsorship here.
But it's a wonderful movie about John C. Reilly, who meets this wonderful woman named played by Marissa Tomei, who happens to have an almost adult son named who is played by Jonah Hill. And the conflict between him and Jonah Hill is just phenomenal. So if you get a chance to see it, it's a very, very fun movie. And you get to see that Jonah Hill could be a serious actor at this point. You kind of understand where he went to get to Moneyball later.
Right, absolutely. You know, he has kind of branched off. I look back to Superbad really being his kind of launching point. I happened to check out online last week. There was a video going kind of viral, and it was the table read from Superbad.
Oh my!
You know, Michael Cera and himself and Emma Stone and I forget the girl that played Michael Cera's girlfriend in the movie, and they're doing the table read on the kind of climactic sex scene, I guess you could say, in the movie.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. The four of them are just, you know, doing all they can to keep it together during the little table read there. And, you know, you can really see where he's come from. And in this movie, he's having a lot of fun, but he does have some moments that are a little more, not just sheer comedy throughout. So,
yeah, some nice, good, tender moments, especially with the young girl he meets in the high school scenes. The other thing you got to remember is this guy's really smart, Jonah Hill. Him and Channing were both executive producers in the film too. I'm not sure if you remember a few months ago when they released Active War 3, I think the video game.
Yeah.
And they released this wonderful trailer with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum playing characters in the game Active War. And then they advertised 21 Jump Street. And so they're really smart on the marketing too. Like I think they had a nice boost. They saw what these two guys could do together, and that's why people came up to this movie this weekend.
Yeah, I know both of them. My wife and I were talking about this afternoon. Both of them are big Twitter stars.
Okay.
Especially Jonah Hill. And we've both been trying in vain. Obviously, we haven't had it happen yet. But I have had a friend that had a tweet retweeted by Jonah Hill.
Oh, very cool.
You know, and he's very active on Twitter. So it was kind of neat to say, hey, you know, Jonah Hill read something I wrote and thought it was good enough to share it with his, you know, 1.5 million followers or whatever the case may be. So 21 Jump Street is at the box office right now. Pardon me?
It'll be there for a little while, I think, too, though I know Brandon sometimes gets rid of its movies pretty fast.
Yeah, it and the Lorax are dueling it out right now. So we're going to change gears a bit. We've talked about The Iron Lady, a little bit about 21 Jump Street, which we might end up at some point doing a show. And Steven's obviously going to take a look at it, he said, with a review as well. We'll change gears a bit here, looking for Steven, your pick of the week.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. I'm actually going to be taking a trip to New York City in a few weeks. I try to go at Easter break every year just to go see some new shows there. And the one show I'm really looking forward to is Once, the musical. And if anyone knows, it's based on a movie. A wonderful movie that I hope a lot of people see, even though I know it's not an easy one to find sometimes. Once is the story of an Irish man who's a busker on the street, and a young woman, Hungarian descent, and they just happen to meet on the street one day when she's listening to him play music. Slowly throughout the movie, they start to kind of come together through the love of the music they love to play. And there's also like a lot of tension between the two of them and everything as well, too. It's a very simple story and yet a very complicated story all at the same time. It's a beautiful, beautiful movie. And the best part about this movie, honestly, is just the music is so raw and so amazing. It stars Markita Irglova and Glenn Hansard. And it's, again, these two people, they're not actors, not before this. They've never done anything before. They come off so natural and so beautiful in this movie. And, you know, if you ever get to hear them play live, I actually got to hear them live about 3 years ago. They came to Toronto, and it was just a magical evening, just an absolutely magical evening to hear them sing. He's just, again, like I say, so raw. And so this movie is a beautiful movie. It's directed by Jim Carney, and hopefully in a few weeks I'll be able to tell you how the stage show went. The stage show apparently is all live musicians on stage acting and playing at the same time. Oh, it's awesome. Kind of done more theater in the round. So that's going to be quite beautiful to see too. And so hopefully I'll be able to tell you about that.
Awesome. You know, sounds exciting, you know, and I've never been to New York City, but obviously a trip well worthwhile, whether it's your first time or, you know, multiple times for yourself, for anybody that's a theater lover, it's the Mecca.
Oh, very much so. I mean, when I go to New York, I mean, I kind of go all out. So I'm only there for about 4 days, four full days. I'm actually seeing 6 shows in 4 days.
Oh, right on.
So, oh yeah, I just go for it. And you know, I'm going to hopefully see, I was telling you about this before, Newsies, the musical, right. Which is like my childhood dream come true. Because it's a beautiful little Disney movie that absolutely flopped at the box office. and it's the music of Alan Menken, who did all like the ones like Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Little Mermaid. It launched kind of a little bit of a career for Christian Bale. He's a right. Wonderful actor in it. And it absolutely flopped. And now, because there's been such a love for this musical over the years, they made a stage show out of it, and it's getting great reviews. And I'm hoping to go see it because it's been my dream to see that on stage. So
awesome. That'll be very exciting. My recommendation for the week throws back to a couple of years ago. Obviously, I'm somebody that's been involved with theater locally here for quite some time, as well as filming theater. We've spent a lot of time filming shows, filming documentaries around shows. And I'm gonna give Steven a question here and see if he can pick up what show I'm talking about, and I'm going to give him one phrase, and I guarantee you folks that he will be able to do it. All I have to say to Steven is, no day but today. What am I talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Rent.
Rent, absolutely, absolutely. I'm talking about the 2008 film Rent, and it was filmed live on Broadway. For somebody like myself that is a, you know, amateur filmmaker as well as a theater buff, this is two worlds colliding, and you know, just a phenomenal, phenomenal DVD if you get a chance to check it out. Obviously, I know a lot of people have seen the film version of Rent. But this is a stage version filmed over, just looking, it says the footage is shot at one performance as well as a day shoot.
Yeah. So
the amount of actual documentation of the show they get in there, first of all, it's just mind boggling to do it in that time. But just an awesome, awesome film to check out. Rent, filmed live on Broadway. And now that came out 2009, so it's probably easily enough found right now.
Yeah, very much so. I have a copy on my shelf as well, too. I've got both it and the movie that was done before that. And again, you're right. It's a wonderful movie. It's, you'd say, it almost kind of led the way towards a lot of film shows coming out right now. They just recently filmed Memphis on Broadway. They filmed Stratford has filmed a number of movies over the past couple of years, other stage shows. And a few people may, if you ever get a chance to see it, I'm not sure if it's coming to Brandon, but they just filmed the version of Twelfth Night from last summer.
Okay.
And so it's quite phenomenal that's going on right now. And it's quite an art form to film a live show like that. And you're right. They often do it in like one show. Sometimes they go back and like refilm a few small parts, but generally they've got like a huge camera system, like 24 cameras to try and catch anything that an actor does on stage.
For sure. Yeah. We a bunch of us here in town did a filming for, MTS television this past week. I'll do a little shameless plug here for Wheat City Live. It's going to be on MTS television. We had a 7 camera setup, and just even for that, the sheer logistics of it, and that was to film a show, you know, on bands. So they're very static. They're not moving around too much, and you know, they're contained within the confines of a small sort of club stage type thing. Just if you get a chance, check this out, because it's just a phenomenal piece, and as much a piece that the filmmakers can take pride of, as well as the actors that were in the show. And so wrapping up, we have talked about the Iron Lady today. I'm going to do a closing mention once again to CJ106 ACC Radio and Jill Ferguson over there, who has done so much to help us get this little endeavor on the air. We've got one show and a second one moments away from being under our belt, which we're both really proud of.
It's an amazing process to do this. And yeah, thank you very much to CJ106.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I would like to once again wish Stephen all the best. You never say good luck in the theater, so I hope this week you break a leg. I hope there's some librarians in Toronto that come to a very swift and speedy contract resolution to let Bus Stop play for one more week.
It'd be very nice, actually. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I wish you all the best. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us once again, and we'll talk to you real soon.